And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, and join the conversation.
Hey, brother, how many times you been in the hospital here, or at St. Mary's, I should say?
Well, I was born here. We wasn't here. Back then, it was at 707 Eastwood, a building that we were way too familiar with. That was the old police station, but it was St. Mary's Hospital.
Yeah, I always tell people I was born in the jail.
Yeah. Well, I was born there and a couple times thought I might die there. But I had my tonsils out here in this building and have been to the emergency room numerous times in the line of duty with a stab wound in 78, some broken ribs in 81, twisted ankle in 85. My children were both born in this building. So I've been here quite a bit. It's a great place. What do you think?
Well, let's see. I was born in the old St. Mary's on Wood Street myself, and I have been in this hospital right after it opened. It was brand spanking new. I got my tonsils out. And unfortunately, I've been back a number of times, too. I think the stab wound caper was a dual.
Yeah, we
issue.
Were both there on that deal, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
You got
were.
A broken clavicle.
Yeah, that's right. Collarbone and a stab wound. That was fun.
That guy took us to task, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That happened more than once, as I recall, but that's all right. And I had several back surgeries in here, broken hand set over the years. I can't even begin to recall all this stuff that I've had, but I've always had excellent care here. And love the place. I mean, we're so fortunate to have a Catholic hospital in this community.
You bet we are.
And we just so happens we're going to talk to the guy who is in charge of that Catholic hospital.
We're going to learn more about this place?
Yeah.
Great. That sounds good.
All right. Well, let's just hit the air and start talking about it.
I'm the Cradle, Dave Slade.
And I'm the Convert, Mark Bartholomew.
So let's kick it off.
And here we go. Good evening, WDCR 88.9 FM listeners. We have, as our guest for the Cradle and the Convert this evening, we have Mr. Dan Perryman. And Dan is the CEO. I'd like to call him new, but he's got, what, a year and 2 months under your belt there, Dan. And I just want to start off talking about this gentleman for a minute. Now, prior to your appointment at St. Mary's, Dan, you served as president and CEO of St. Francis in Litchfield, right?
I did.
Okay, and you were there from 2006 on?
Yeah, for about 7 years.
Okay, and before that, now, if I'm right, you worked for Community Health Systems in two of the organization's Alabama affiliates, and
right.
One of them was even Decatur, Alabama.
Yep, Decatur, Alabama.
That's amazing. And what a coincidence. Did that influence your decision coming to Decatur, Illinois? You think maybe you...
Yeah, I think it was.
Okay. That's the right answer. That's good. He was also the Memorial Hospital prior to coming here. And prior to his employment with CHS, Dan, you served as the administrator of LUCA, based in Tupelo, Mississippi, right?
Yep. It was in Iuka, Mississippi. Yes,
Iuka,
a small town.
And you also served as assistant administrator at Middlesboro Hospital in Lexington,
right.
Kentucky, right?
Yeah, south of Lexington.
How long was that stint?
For 2 years.
Oh, all right. Well, and then you completed your administrative fellowship at the Veterans Administration in Sioux Falls, right, South Dakota?
Yes, yes.
And also, you're a veteran of the United States. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Of the United States Navy and received an honorable discharge after 6 years.
Yep.
Now, were you an officer or?
No, enlisted. I was actually just straight out of high school.
Okay.
Aviation electronics.
Ooh.
Yeah, nothing to do with healthcare.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Do you wire people in surgery now? Yeah. So you just walk in and keep your skills
exactly,
up?
Or is it,
okay,
yeah.
Well, okay. Dan also got his bachelor's degree in political science and a master's degree in hospital health administration from the University of Iowa in Iowa City. And I understand you're a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives?
Yes.
Outstanding. Well, you've just been about everywhere, haven't you?
I have, yes.
And it's all domestic, huh? You've not... Well, outside of your Navy.
Yeah, I was in Guam and the Philippines and Japan and the Navy.
Well, you are international. There you have it, listeners. We've got an international celebrity here with us. Dan, we thought we'd just talk about some things that the hospital is doing right now. And,
okay.
And then maybe after we're through with that, we'll ask you some questions about your involvement here in the community and how you're assimilating.
Okay, great.
Let's talk about the auxiliary, hospital auxiliary. Now, are there like 300 members there?
Yeah, I think the total is 360. Wow. So, yeah, there's a very strong auxiliary group here. Okay. In the hospital.
Well, currently, what are they doing? What's an activity they're involved in?
Well, you'll see them in the lobby, mm-hmm. And they visit patients, they escort patients. They're very helpful, very instrumental.
Do they help with the transport of patients to and from different wards?
They do, absolutely. Yeah, you'll see a few of them are kind of stationed down by outpatient registration, and they'll walk patients.
And they wear the pink smocks,
do.
Right?
Yes.
Mark, your mom was a volunteer.
For years, years. Yeah, she worked in the gift shop. She substitute there part of the time. And also, I think in the lobby, she did some work in there. And
yeah,
the office
they run the gift shop. And I know they bring, for outpatients, they'll walk them down to the cafeteria. Very helpful. Yeah, it would be difficult to do things without them.
Now, they've got a grocery grab program going on mm-hmm. right now. Tell us a little bit about that, Dan.
So they're selling tickets. You know, it's a early bird drawing. So I guess it's at the Country Market locations in Decatur. So a fundraiser.
Okay. And they can get their tickets there?
Yes.
How much are they?
$10.
All right. And
in the gift shop or at the county market.
Oh, great. Okay. Awesome. And there's an early bird drawing for something. Is that in conjunction with that?
Right. And so you can win up to $1,000 worth of foods by entering. So I might buy a few tickets.
Yeah, well, are a radio station celebrities eligible? I suppose if we pay our $10, we are.
Everybody's eligible with a $10 bill.
Well, no freebies given out here, even though we're...
It's nice that they hooked up with the new county market, that beautiful new store.
It's gorgeous,
West
isn't
Grand,
it?
You know?
It is absolutely gorgeous.
And speaking of that, we're talking about the volunteers working in the lobby. What a beautiful facility we have here at St. Mary's now. That lobby is just absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
With the piano and the waterfall and the glass.
Yep.
And the new surgery waiting room, which is right above the
lobby. Is that awesome?
That is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to wait in a waiting room, it might as well be something that's, you know, pleasant. Not being cornered in a room, you can look out over the parking lot. It's just a gorgeous place, what they've done. Remodeling this hospital.
Yeah, they did an amazing job.
It's just incredible. And you know, after I had my back surgery last September, I had a drain in and, you know, was on a walker and I waddled in there basically because they had coffee and I didn't want to bother the nurses. So I get out of my room and I walk the hall and I went in there and I'm standing there talking to somebody and, oh, you had surgery. Yep, here's my drain. You know, and I turn around, there's about a dozen people sitting there waiting. They're all covering their eyes. I thought, oh, well. You know, I'm old. You like to show off your scars and talk about your illnesses and surgery. Well, let's get back to you, Dan, in the hospital.
All right.
I understand. Are you guys doing some kind of car seat safety checks?
Yeah. So we sponsor a car seat safety check with the Macon County Health Department.
And what's the point of that?
So it's very important, especially with us being in the maternity business mm-hmm. and you know, taking care of children's health. It's important that they get fitted for a car seat because that's very very important for their
safety.
It's
not one size fits all.
Right, absolutely not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know the rules change based on weight and age and all that. So
hard to keep up.
Yeah, we think it's very important that people are, it sounds simple, but trained to use a car seat, especially new moms who... you know, who haven't done it before.
Yeah, as if they're not nervous enough putting a baby in a car for the first time.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Right.
Well, you know, I may be have been in better shape than I am now. You know, if I wasn't allowed to stand in the front seat between my mom and dad with a metal dashboard.
Yeah, they don't allow that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Lay in the back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There was no seat belts, no headrests. It was.
How many times did you get that arm across your chest, you know, and slamming on the brakes?
Yeah. Who knows what.
Well, thank goodness we have somebody that can check that and make sure they're put in right. I saw a thing on TV that said 90% of them, people think they have them right, and only about 10% of people actually have them installed correctly. So, and who's helping do the check? Is it Baby Talk or?
I think the Macon County Health Department,
along
with people from the hospital.
Good people there.
And then I know you had one on Friday, June 26th, there in the West Lot from 12 to 3. How often do you have those, Dan? Or do you know?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I would I think it's probably, I don't know.
Okay. Now, the hospital has a chapel right here, St. Mary's right. Chapel, and many of us are familiar with that because we do Eucharistic adoration there through the week. And but they also have masses in there. Dan, what are the times and days on those?
So Tuesday and Thursday at 11:30, and then the first and third Sunday of the month at 5 o'clock.
And now that's Father Nick Hussain, right?
Father Nick, right.
Okay, great.
Yeah, just a plug for the adoration. You know, we just celebrated the 20th anniversary.
Yes.
That's, you know, for those who are Catholic and understand it and participate in it, but for those that aren't Catholic, they can also come and sit in the chapel and spend time, as Catholics with the real presence. And but I think, I mean, personally, I think it's amazing that we have the adoration in the hospital.
Yes.
You know, I because I've lived in small towns, and I've actually had to drive places to go to adoration that's 24 hours. So to have it
sure
down the hallway is amazing to me.
You know, Dan, Mark and I were both police officers. Mark was chief of police, and I was one of his deputy chiefs. I couldn't imagine what it would have been like if we could have gone before some of the decisions we had to make
and
kneel
gosh.
Before our Lord in the sacrament.
Yeah, I should have done that many times, reflected on some of those decisions.
To have that right in your workplace is just such, you know, we'll talk about an advisor. Oh. When you need to make a decision, you can go down and sit before our Lord and listen.
Well, yeah. Imagine somebody in a family where a relative's brought in critical or serious condition, and you can leave family members to be with the patient or in the waiting and go to the chapel and actually offer up your prayers.
Right. And we're very blessed because we have Father Nick, who's full-time. You know, a lot of hospitals, Catholic hospitals, don't have priests. A lot of them don't because of the shortage. Mm-hmm. We have five sisters who are still here. We have, several non-Catholic full-time, ministers. Mm-hmm. So we're very blessed to have a great pastoral care department here.
And, you know, really we always have, I say we because we're part of the hospital, WDCR, but we've always had a terrific pastoral staff here. Remember Sister Goes?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my gosh.
She worked in the ER.
Sister Ann, she was a sweetheart.
She adopted every one of us cops at Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, she loved us and made sure we were taken care of. Especially if we came in injured, she was right there, Johnny, on the spot.
That's important.
Yeah, she was a good gal. We just got through with June's Health Month, and cover for just a second, Dan. What is the impetus behind that? Why does the hospital do that?
For men, it's proven that women make a lot of the healthcare decisions in families.
Yes,
and so. I think that it's important to remind men that, as somebody who's getting closer to 50 now, that it's important to see your doctor, lower the risks of health, eat healthy, exercise. And men, I think, it's in the men's DNA that, if it gets worse, I'll take care of it then. And then, pretty soon you just never take care of it. But I think with a lot of colorectal cancer now, regular colonoscopies after you hit age of 50, it's proven that it's very preventable if it's detected early. So I think it's very important that men. In fact, I just got a doctor, and I just went to him, and it's hard for men to do that.
It is,
but I think it's very important because. We need health care just like everybody else does.
Oh, absolutely. And exercise.
And exercise.
Regular exercise. 30 minutes of aerobic muscle building activity each day. Getting vaccinated.
Right.
That's also important. And adults are the worst about that. We worry about getting our kids vaccinated,
yes.
or grandkids in my case. But, you need to get your annual vaccines
right.
as well.
Right. I went and got the shingles vaccine.
Yeah, I should have done that.
I've seen what shingles can do.
Yes.
And from what I've been told about that vaccination, it doesn't guarantee you won't get them.
Right.
But it knocks your chance down in half. And if you get it,
it's not as severe.
the severity down by half. So I figured that's pretty good insurance. So I would recommend the shingles. If you've ever had the chicken pox, there's a pretty good chance that one in three people that have had chicken pox will get the shingles. So.
Yeah, I've had three minor back surgeries and one very involved back procedure, and it didn't hold a candle to the pain and the discomfort I had with the shingles when I had them.
That's my understanding. I've had several friends who have got the shingles, and they say it's the most painful thing that they've ever experienced.
And I can take anything but pain.
And I've seen you take a lot over the years. Yeah. Dave, what questions you got?
Well, Dan, now that you've been in town for a year or so and part of the community, what do you think are some of the best assets of the city of Decatur?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I mean, definitely there's so I'm on the chamber board.
Oh, good.
I'm on the Education Coalition, you know, and we participate as a hospital. We participate in a lot of, you know, events. One thing I've seen, though, with, like, Grow Decatur and the business people, they're very involved in bettering the community. More, and I've lived in a lot of places, you know, but this is probably the most involved I've ever seen people in their community. They really care about the future of businesses. They just don't say it. They invest their money and they invest their time, and it's a really strong business community here, which I think is pretty nice, and because they want to overcome some of the economic challenges of Decatur, and so that's probably the number one thing that I've seen that's different in Decatur. And there's a lot of optimism in
there's
the future.
A fighting spirit, isn't it?
There really is.
Kind of reminds you of the dogs.
Well, yeah. And look at the downtown area, the beautification project downtown, you know, and if things look good, people feel better about it.
Oh, sure.
The businesses downtown, I think I counted the other day, there are 9 places to eat in downtown Decatur now. 10 years ago, there might have been 2. And the businesses, they are growing downtown. It's nice to see.
They did a really nice job downtown.
And you've been around, so you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen a number of cities.
Yeah.
But there are still issues that Decatur needs to overcome, and I'm just wondering if you've seen anything that where you think Decatur needs to focus some more energy, whether it's economic development or beautification. Where else do you see that maybe we could go next in Decatur?
Well, I think the you know, there's a lot of focus on the intermodal, so this business coming up, and I think they got that area covered pretty well. Closer to the healthcare side of things, you know, primary care, getting people access to doctors. It's hard because they're so busy. They have so many patients, and reimbursement is difficult.
Yeah.
That, you know, doctors will only take so many Medicare patients, so many Medicaid patients. And so emergency rooms, both here and across town, end up becoming the primary care.
Sure.
Place for a lot of our patients. So we're trying to recruit more doctors to get people more access, because kind of what we just talked about.
Sure.
You know, you don't want to wait until you're really sick and then show up in the emergency department if you could prevent it and take care of yourself. So I think focusing on, you know, how do we get people to be a little more proactive in their health care as opposed to using the hospitals as kind of their primary care.
Well, and speaking of the emergency rooms, we now here at St. Mary's have our own in-house ER doctors, don't we?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We just signed on the doctors that used to serve at Decatur Memorial joined our group. Infinity Meds is the name of the group. And so they're all working. They all came across town. So this is the first time, I believe, that all the emergency room doctors live in Decatur.
That's great.
First time ever.
Yeah.
So we were very fortunate to have them joining us.
You know, years ago, there were Decatur doctors in there, and we knew all of them the minute we walked in as a patient or through our employment. And it was nice to know that staff. I mean, the nurses, of course, we always knew them well, and then to have those doctors. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like every time you came in over the years that there was a different doctor and several different doctors, and it just wasn't the same.
Yep. And we're very happy about this. This is going to be good for our hospital, good for the community.
Well, and the hospital's good for WDCR, for
Decatur
Catholic Radio. You give us this studio. You take care of our mailing and our copying, and the hospital does so much
Absolutely.
To keep us on the air and to keep our costs down so that we can, you know, have local programming and we can upgrade our studio and do some wonderful things. And I don't think we could do it without the help of St. Mary's
no,
Hospital
we could
with
not.
HSHS behind us.
And the support.
It's great.
Well, and we're happy to have you. I think, you know, we talked about adoration.
I think
it's also pretty amazing that we have a Catholic radio studio in our building. That's to me. I mean, that's a great asset too. So we're very happy to support.
That's great.
Well, that's going to give us a list of people that we're going to interview. We're going to try to grab some of the staff and give St. Mary's a spot on the show to talk about what's going on here. Talk about issues with mental health and physical health, the Affordable Care Act, all kinds of different things that we can tap into from being part of the hospital.
And obviously people can't see the studio, but it does look pretty amazing.
It does.
It's very nice.
It?
Yeah, it's a lot different than the last time I saw it.
Looks like a real studio.
It does. I don't see a break room, though, or a couch or anywhere we can, you know.
Well, and, you know, I'm engineering the show over here behind the glass in the engineering room. The folks at home can't see that. But
you might have to break through that wall, just take come into that space over there.
Go into the cafeteria and get our food and our drinks. Yeah. Is that on the house, Dan?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, there you have it. I have one other question for you, unless you have some more, Dave.
Nope. I'm happy right now.
I understand that you have a daughter that's enrolled in Catholic schools. You have a son.
No, he goes to SIUE.
Yeah,
my daughter lives in Maryville.
Okay.
And he's a SIUE student.
All right.
And my oldest daughter just actually passed her boards for nurse practitioner.
Oh, wow.
She's over in Tennessee.
So you going to hire her? Bring her up here?
Yeah, she's already got a job.
Well, but she doesn't want to be in Tennessee. It's too warm there in the winter.
Yeah, it's way too comfortable.
Exactly. All right. I think that's a good one. And Dan, thanks so much for being with us today. And we are certainly delighted and honored that you chose to come here. And,
our first guest.
Yep.
Yeah, well, thank you for inviting me.
We're glad you're CEO. We thought Kevin Cass would be a tough act to follow, but by golly, you've got his personality and his energy and his foresight, and I like that.
I think he's probably got his feet up somewhere in St. Louis, isn't
he? I suspect so.
Yeah.
I suspect so. I talked to him before he left, and he kind of indicated that was in his playbook,
you know. Yeah.
Well, thanks again for joining us. This is Dan Perryman has joined us here on the Cradle and the Convert here on 88.9 WDCR.
Well, all right, y'all. That is good night for us. We'll be back again next week at 6 p.m. on Tuesday to bring you another enlightening show of our choice. And hopefully you will enjoy it, too. You have been listening to WDCR 88.9, The Cradle and the Convert. And who's the Cradle?
I'm the Cradle, Dave Slade.
And I'm the Convert, Mark Barthelemy. And we are right here on 88.9 WDCR, listener-supported Catholic radio for Decatur and Central Illinois.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Good night, Joe.
Mark, what do you say we close with a prayer here? How about the prayer of St. Francis?
Let's do it.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
Where there is hatred, let me sow love.
Where there is injury, pardon.
Where there is doubt, faith.
Where there is despair, hope.
Where there is darkness, light.
Where there is sadness, joy.
O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled or to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born into eternal life.
Amen.
All right, that about does it. We'll catch you next time.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the Some may come and some may go. He will surely pay his. When the one that left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the